Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson that talks about if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Through the one man, Jesus. Through the one man, Jesus Christ, and everything through the one man, Jesus. But we began the service by going back to the Athanasian Creed and the Chalcedonian formula, summarized as what he did not become, he did not save. But we read that whole section of the creed. Why is this important? Why is it important? Simply because there is a huge divide that needs to be crossed. So from the creed, and I actually prefer the older wording for it, our Lord Jesus Christ at the same time is both God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before all ages, and man of the substance of his mother, born in this age, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father according to his divinity, less than the Father according to his humanity. Why is this important? From the small catechism, there are a couple of questions. Why is it necessary for Jesus to be true man? And why is it necessary for Jesus to be truly God? To the first, he needed to be true man so he could fulfill the law in our place, keeping all the commandments. And second, so he could suffer and die in our place as one of us. And he had to be God, truly God, so his life and death would be enough. And not just one man's martyrdom. And second, so he could overcome death and the devil, and so set us free. And then I was looking on the internet for those that said something about this, found somebody named Greg Uttinger. For if Jesus Christ is not truly human, then we have in him no mediator or substitute. If he is not a divine person, then his death was mere martyrdom and no help or value to us who stand in need of atonement. There is a huge divide that needs to be crossed. And in the past number of weeks, we have heard, and we are still hearing, the language of division. The whole thing comes from Genesis 3, and it has been the state of humanity ever since. But we hear the language of division. The other side is not listening. The other side is not policing itself. The other side cannot understand because they are not us. Know where that comes from? Our divisions within humanity come from our division as humanity from God. And there is a huge divide that needs to be crossed. This is not how God had it planned. You see, he created you in the image of God so that he could look at you and say, this is my creation bearing my image, good and noble and wise and altogether beautiful. He created you in the image of God, and he created me in the image of God. so that how God planned it, we could be mirrors for each other. Mirrors. So that I could look at you and say, there is the image of God. Good and noble and wise and altogether beautiful. And if we are mirrors for each other, I would know the image of God in myself by looking at it and speaking at it as I speak about you. I would know the image of God in myself as I name it in you. And until we learn that again, we cannot find our way back. But a week and a half ago, I heard a fellow pastor, raised in the south side of Chicago, saying how in the Lutheran schools, they told him, and they said, every time you point at someone, you have three fingers pointing back at you. And then they said, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I thought that was pretty good. But it works the other way around as well. We are mirrors for each other. And if I disparage you, I am speaking into a mirror of myself. And there in a mirror of myself, I see nothing else than my sin, my fallenness, my foolishness. No, this is not how God intended. And to adapt a phrase, your life has to matter. Because if your life does not matter, then my life does not matter either. We are mirrors for each other. The division in humanity, it started in Genesis 3. Think about this. Adam pointed at Eve. It's her. She's different. Not as good as me. And then to God, why did you make her wrong? Adam should have seen the three fingers pointing back at himself and simply said, I have sinned. Where did the self-reflection and the repentance disappear to? There is a huge divide that needed to be crossed. There are words of division in the epistle lesson. You want to hear them? While we were enemies, that's verse 10. It doesn't say estranged or alienated or unsure about God and his ways. It says enemies. We were actively enemies of God and fighting against him. And do you want to know how much we were enemies of God? When he sent his son into this world, we killed him. There is a huge divide that needed to be crossed. And that is the astonishing thing about Jesus. He crossed the divide. He became one of us. He has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility to reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility in his own flesh. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2. The huge divide. Jesus crossed it. Came into our world to be both. To be God and man. Perfect God. of the substance of his father, perfect man of the substance of his mother. Begotten before eternity, begotten in this time. And so he carries our flesh. He came into the world to make you his mirror so that he could become your mirror. Turning to the text. The free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And again, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. He had to be truly human so that he could bear our sins and be our substitute. And then it goes on. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous and leading to eternal life. He had to be God so that his dying and rising would be enough, and so that he could defeat death. Jesus came into this world to make you his mirror. Truly human, made one of us so that he could be the praying God. Just yesterday, driving home, we heard on the radio that song was about 15, 20 years old. What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. And while you may question the wording, those words could only have been written by someone who has heard about Christmas and Gethsemane and the cross and Easter. He is one of us. He is the praying God, the eating with the poor God, the sleeping in the back of the boat during the storm God, the kneeling in Gethsemane and the beaten bloody God, and the God with the crown of thorns and the nails through his hands. And the reason why is because you are his mirror. He looks at you. And when he does, yes, there is sin, rebellion, hatred, and immorality. And Jesus says, that's mine. I will take all of it. I will claim it, and I will carry it to the cross, and I will die for it. And that's what it means, crossing the divide. He made you his mirror so that he could become your mirror, so that his Easter would become your Easter, and his glory would become your glory, and his eternal life would become your eternal life. He is the one who is, as Paul says, will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. And as John says, so that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In the text it says, the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man Jesus. And it says justification, and it says those who receive reign and life through the one man Jesus Christ. And it says by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous, and it says leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because he is true God, true man, one of us, and he is eternal God who has become one of us so that we may become glorious in his image. In Jesus' name, amen.